AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
The first thing that hits you at the World Cheese Awards is the smell.
The strange thing is, after about an hour or so, you don't really notice it anymore, so that's a bit weird.
Christabel Kames is the Associate Managing Director for the Guild of Fine Foods, which organizes the World Cheese Awards.
So behind us, we've got 5,244 cheeses. They're coming from 46 countries around the world, and they're currently being blind tasted by a team of 265 judges, also from 46 countries.
Scores of judges in yellow aprons circle long rectangular tables arranged in rows before digging in. They either slice triangle wedges out of hard cheeses and press them to their noses, or use spreaders to scoop up soft, gooey cheeses. It was a blind taste test for the 265 odd judges on hand.
Got hints of fruit, lots of meaty notes, some ham stock, maybe even that sense of sort of bacon when you're like slightly hungover in the morning.
The winner, perhaps appropriately enough, was a special Swiss Gruyere. Dawn Lee is a crossing guard manager with Indianapolis Public Schools. She says she has a few ideas on improving crossing guard safety.
Police presence, you know, police doing something to you know, be more enforcing the laws.
In New Jersey, state officials recognized a trend with crossing guard injuries and deaths and implemented a program focused on their safety. Justin Baker is New Jersey's assistant state labor commissioner.
I mean, you are relying on motorists. I mean, it's something that even if they do everything right, it doesn't always prevent a motorist from, you know, not paying attention or being distracted and possibly coming through. So
Massachusetts has a similar endeavor, where the Department of Health conducts investigations focused on crossing guard fatalities and produces reports with recommendations for improvement. The Massachusetts Department of Labor Standards is tasked with implementing these changes. Even with programs in New Jersey and Massachusetts, many crossing guards are left to advocate for their own safety. I'm Haya Punjwani.
An encrypted message in an art installation outside the CIA headquarters has stymied the world's best code breakers for 35 years. Now the secret to deciphering it is up for auction. Bobby Livingston with RR Auction.
The first three messages were unencrypted within 10 years, but the K4 has remained encrypted till this day.
Jim Sanborn's Cryptos was installed in 1990. Sanborn says the encrypted messages are paragraphs that build on each other while becoming increasingly difficult to decipher. Not even AI has solved the mystery. At 79, Sanborn is looking for the next keeper to the secrets of K4.
That method is the real deal. And nobody has the method but me.
The auction was almost derailed after crypto sleuths discovered Sanborn's original scrambled handwritten notes at the Smithsonian.
The important distinction is that they discovered it. They did not decipher it. They do not have the key. They don't have the method with which it's deciphered.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
As the government slowly reopens, the SNAP program has proved to be one of the most impacted from the longest government shutdown in US history. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program serves around 42 million people, about 1 in 8 Americans, in lower-income households. A series of court rulings and shifting policies from the Trump administration led to a patchwork distribution of November benefits. While some states had already issued full benefits, about two-thirds of states had issued only partial benefits or none at all. Ryan Sprankle, owner of Sprankle's Neighborhood Market, felt like the government could have done more to avoid SNAP being affected by the shutdown.
From my perspective, and maybe I'm wrong, both parties and the president of the United States office and the governor's office Every one of those people had some kind of a button they could have pushed to release some kind of emergency funds, you know, and they didn't.
While some SNAP recipients have received their full monthly benefits, others may have to wait up to a week. I'm Karen Shamas.
Charlotte, North Carolina is the latest city preparing for a potential immigration crackdown by the Trump administration. Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden says Customs and Border Protection agents could be in Charlotte within days.
We don't need immigration and custom enforcement coming into Charlotte, disrupting our city, creating fear in our city and workplace.
Niecy Brown is with the AFL-CIO. President Trump is defending sending federal agents and the military into Democratic-run cities. Susan Rodriguez McDowell is a county commissioner.
Whatever occurs in the coming days, we must meet the moment peacefully, reduce panic, and remember that due process will be back. There will come a time when this regime ends and justice and due process will become the order of the day again.
Audio from WSOC. Local authorities in Charlotte say they have not been able to assist. I'm Ed Donahue.
The executive director of the Nonpartisan Prosecuting Attorneys Council of Georgia says no prosecutor wants to take on the Georgia election interference case against President Donald Trump, so he'll take the case himself. Prosecutor Pete Scandalakis says several prosecutors were contacted and each declined. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis was removed from the case because she had a romantic relationship with the special prosecutor she had chosen to lead it, and no one wants to replace her. It's unlikely that any action against Trump would proceed while he's still in office, but there are 14 other people facing charges in the case, including former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. I'm Donna Warder.
Police in Oakland, California say there's been an arrest in the shooting of Laney Community College athletic director John Beam. The shooting occurred just before noon Thursday at the college's field house, where officers found Beam suffering from gunshot wounds. He remains hospitalized in critical condition. Beam is known from the Netflix documentary series Last Chance U. He coached the Laney College Eagles football team, which were featured in the 2020 season of the show. Brothers Neshawn and Rejon White, now with the Chicago Bears and New Orleans Saints, respectively, were among those expressing their support on social media. Oakland Mayor Barbara Lee praises Beam as a mentor and a lifeline for young people. I'm Jennifer King.
There's fish on the menu at Pajit restaurant in Thailand, but there's also fish swimming in the aisles. The fish are bumping into diners' feet under the tables, and no one's complaining. The eatery, just over 20 miles from Bangkok, has become a sensation since the adjacent Ta Chin River breached its banks 11 days ago. Pajit restaurant owner Paul Kamal Prang Prempri tells the AP, "At first, when there was a flood, I thought there would be no customers for sure. How could they come if it's flooded? But a customer had posted online showing that there were fish here. Then a lot of people flocked here to eat. It was all over social media, so more came. On Friday, Pajit was full to bursting with some 60 customers at any one time, families enjoying lunch, with enthralled toddlers playing with the fish flapping round their thighs. Staff in waders carried bowls of fish soup or chicken noodles from table to table, while diners posed in the lapping brown water or scattered fish food to see the resulting feeding frenzy. I'm Charles de Ledesma in London.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson.
This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to On Football with me, Rob Motti. Week 11 in the NFL looks like a playoff schedule. Great game. Seahawks-Rams battle for first place in the NFC West. Chiefs-Broncos in an important AFC West matchup. And then there's the Eagles-Lions in a game that many thought would be the NFC Championship game last year. It could be this season. Our guest this week is Damar Hamlin. Stay tuned for a special conversation with Damar. The New York Giants fired Brian Daboll this week, so that's two teams now, the Titans and the Giants, who will be looking for a head coach after the season. Of course, Tennessee and New York get a head start on that. The trend for teams is to look for the young, up-and-coming coordinator. Everybody wants the next Sean McVay. But the Eagles had success twice by hiring assistants that nobody else interviewed. They were mocked for hiring Doug Peterson in 2016. He won a Super Bowl the next season. They were laughed at for hiring Nick Sirianni in 2021. He's been to two Super Bowls and won last year. It's not always the most talked about candidates that end up being the best choice. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is sidelined by a pectoral injury this season, but DeMar has overcome bigger challenges in the past. He suffered a cardiac arrest on the field in January 2023 and returned remarkably to play in the NFL. Here's my conversation with DeMar Hamlin.
You're built to handle adversity, given what you went through, right? Given everything that has gone on in your life. I mean, I feel like there's no one who can handle that better than you. Then coming off a season, you played last year, you made big contributions to the Bills. How does the past help prepare you for the future? How are you built to handle anything that comes your way? Not just on a football field, but really, DeMar, in life.
The toughness and adversities that I've already had in my life to even just make it to the point where I'm able to be an NFL athlete, that was the toughest part of my journey. That was really like the toughest navigation. I was built for the chase, and I was built for to overcome the adversity, to be able to persevere through, something so heart-wrenching, no pun intended, but something so heart-wrenching and something so scary to life, to be able to get myself to a point where, I wanted to be able to show that I can compete again at the highest level in the world. I think just the foundation, that my parents built in me, the foundation of, things I had to overcome and the mindset that I had to build myself up into a person, carries me through life.
While you're out now, while you're rehabbing and you're around the team, how are you able to still contribute to the Bills? Maybe from like a mentorship aspect to some of the younger guys. You're a veteran now, right? 5 years into the league. How are you able to help some of the other players deal with, whether it's defensive situations or anything that they have to go through?
Oh yeah, obviously, I think I provide a lot of value as far as, knowing the details and, what we're trying to get accomplished as far as school. I'm able to, at this point, I've always felt like a, young up-and-coming player, but I'm year five, man. I think I reached that status, so, I'm able to, be that veteran voice, that veteran presence that guys respect and relate to. I can understand the side of the coach, the front office of, what they're trying to get out of a player. And I understand the aspect of being a player and, how you need to be coached, how you need to be brung along and be like met where you're at in the moment. So, I think that piece right there is extremely valued. It bridges the gap to ultimately make everybody go in one direction. But, also, man, I think I stand just my presence alone. I stand for so much, and just getting through my adversity with my cardiac arrest, I think I was able to use my teammates to be able to get me through that moment. My teammates were really the thing that allowed me to feel, a part of something. It made me feel like I got able to escape my situation by being a part of my team. So, I kind of reverse that nowadays. I'm able to allow my teammates to escape their own reality by seeing me go through some adversity, but knowing what I already came through. And, just the fact that, they see me still going and see me not giving up, I've been able to see, a light spark in my teammates. I think it's a blessing to be a part of the organization that I'm a part of. Everybody that comes in and goes out and comes back, everyone says it's a special place. So super blessed, super blessed.
DeMar, I'm man enough to admit I love watching Hallmark Christmas movies. I'll sit there with my wife and the kids, and actually I'm the one telling them I want to watch it because it's safe. It's safe television. There's a lot of garbage out there, but Hallmark Christmas movies are everything. The More the Merrier is coming out November 28th. That's a partnership with Abbott Heartmates and yourself, and you're featured in that. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, it was so amazing. Like you said, though, man, It is a lot of junk TV. I was ready to, you know, put up my Christmas tree and get into the holiday season already. But to be able to have this partnership that means so much to me, as I just described, and then I've always, you know, we've always done unique two things, which has made it one of my favorite ambassadorships and partnerships. So to be here right now, and, you know, we're here talking about, you know, being on a movie is truly amazing. It's something that I've always wanted to do, first and foremost. So to be able to have a role in a movie and then get to watch myself on a movie screen will be super cool. But I think more important than that, to highlight what we do as far as the things that we get accomplished through the HomeAge program on the big screen is truly amazing, and I'm excited for it.
Time to pick some winners. The Pro Picks 4-Pack is 29-10-1 straight up, 26-14 against the spread. We'll start with the best bet. Green Bay Packers are 5-3-1 on the road against the Giants, who are 2-8. The Packers are 7-point favorites. They've lost two in a row. Jordan Love and the offense have struggled. They've scored 20 points combined in both of those losses. This was a Super Bowl contender just a few weeks ago, and now they're fading. The Packers need to get back on track, and the Giants are the right remedy. Interim coach Mike Kafka takes over for Brian Dable. Jameis Winston will likely make his first start if Jackson Dart can't play because of concussion. Jameis will make some great plays. He'll make some bad ones. Michael Parsons could have a big day chasing him all around the field. Packers 32-16. It was tough to find an upset special this week. The Bears 6-3 at Minnesota. They're 4-5. Vikings are 3-point favorites. Caleb Williams has led the Bears to 3 comeback wins in the last 4 games. They've won 6 of 7 since an 0-2 start under Ben Johnson. Williams is 1-7 in 8 starts versus NFC North teams, including a loss to Minnesota in week 1. J.J. McCarthy led the Vikings to that comeback in the season opener. He struggled in his fourth career start last week against Baltimore after an impressive performance against Detroit a week before. It's tough to sweep teams in divisions that good. Bears 23-22. I look at one of the big-time matchups next. Kansas City 5-4 at Denver 8-2. The Chiefs are 4-point favorites. Despite being currently out of the playoff picture, they would be the AFC's 8th seed right now. Now, the Chiefs still are favorites to win the Super Bowl, and they're favorites on the road in this matchup against the Broncos. The Broncos have struggled on offense. They've got a dominant defense. Patrick Mahomes has his playmakers healthy. The Chiefs are coming off a bye. Andy Reid in his career is 22-4 after a bye in the regular season, including 6-1 with Mahomes. I'm taking the Chiefs 24-18. And then Sunday Night Football, the Lions 6-3 at Philly against the Eagles, who were 7-2. They're coming off a Monday night win in Green Bay, and they're 2.5-point favorites against Detroit. Dan Campbell, he took over play calling duties for the Lions last week, and the offense went back to being dynamic, scored 44 points. Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown against Philly's talented defense. It's going to be an excellent matchup. Can't wait to see what defensive coordinator Vic Fangio has dialed up. The Eagles are going to need their offense to step up against the Lions. A.J. Brown has to be more involved in the passing game. Saquon Barkley needs more running lanes. Jalen Hurts has made plays when the pressure and the spotlight are on. Campbell and Goff are 13-3 in primetime games, but all three of those losses came when they were underdogs. They're underdogs here. Eagles 27-23. That's it for this week. Thank you to DeMar Hamlin. Thank you for listening to On Football. And thanks to Haya Pinjwani and Guillermo Gonzalez for producing this episode. Please check out apnews.com for the full Pro Picks, On Football analysis, and more NFL news.
On October 19th, 2025, millions of dollars worth of crown jewels were stolen from the world-famous Louvre Museum in France. But as the AP's chief correspondent in Paris, John Lester, says,
the theft itself is really only the beginning of this story. There's so much that hasn't been told yet. I mean, first of all, where are the gems? What's going to happen to them?
I'm Haya Pinjwani. On this episode of The Story Behind the AP Story, Lester talks about the heist at the Louvre, where thieves broke into the Apollo Gallery with power tools, cut into display cases, and stole jewels valued at $102 million.
It was a Sunday morning, and I was listening to the radio, as I often do, and when they first said that jewels had been stolen from this museum, I mean, it's a high, you know, it's a high security museum. I at first, I really honestly thought that I'd misheard it. It just seemed so feasible, really, that, you know, in the space of 4 minutes, robbers would be able to, like, go up on a ladder into this Apollo gallery. I mean, I've been there. It's an amazing gallery. And break into these high-security glass showcases for, you know, probably the most historic and valuable collection of jewels in all of France. And I think a lot of people were just kind of shocked and stunned, basically. 88 million euros, $102 million worth of diamonds, rubies, sapphires, pearls being stolen in such a brazen daylight robbery. It didn't really need to be in France for it to have made headlines. I think if this had happened anywhere, that would have made headlines. But, you know, the fact that it's happened in the world's most visited museum, the fact that it happened just 250 odd meters away from where the Mona Lisa is, the fact that it's in a place that, you know, even if you haven't been there, you've probably seen photos of the glass pyramid that is at the entrance of the Louvre. I mean, it's all of these things have come together to make it just an incredible story. So the Apollo Gallery that where they're kept, it's beautiful. I mean, it's gold gilt paint, fantastically painted ceilings. I mean, it's really like stepping into, well, it is stepping into a French king's palace, essentially, because that's what the Louvre used to be, and now it's a museum, but it's just an incredible place. The collection of crown jewels in France actually dates back hundreds of years. It was François Ier in the 16th century who decided that France should have its own national crown jewels, and he started this collection that gradually has been building up over the centuries. I mean, at one point, it was up to tens of thousands of gems. Louis XIV, the Sun King, he was a big fan of jewels. One of the diamonds that was stolen was apparently, it's a big thing, it looks about the size of a plum. It used to be one of his coat buttons and then became an earring used by Marie Antoinette. And, you know, all of these gems have, these jewels have, you know, a part of France's history. And that's why also, apart from the monetary value, the emotional value, I think, has been, you know, the emotional shock that it's been for the French. It's really, you know, people talk about this being as painful as watching Notre Dame burn in 2019.
Since the robbery, the Paris prosecutor says 4 suspects are in custody as part of the investigation. That includes 3 believed to be members of the team of 4 that was filmed using a freight lift to reach the museum's window to gain access. But the gems are still missing.
A terrible fate could await them. They're so famous that you couldn't sell them on as they are. They'd have to be chopped up, melted down, the gems would have to be recut. That's what the experts that we've been talking to have been saying. So, you know, that's one of the big questions going forward is, will France be able to recover any of these gems as they are? It just seems incredible that, that you know, 2 men could climb up a ladder, that they could come along on a Sunday and park their ladder outside the world's most visited museum, sort of clamber up onto the first floor balcony, break in with disc cutters, 4 minutes later come back down with all of this loot and all the stuff that they've taken, and then disappear off on motorbikes.
This has been the story behind the AP story. I'm your host, Haya Panjwani. This story is continuing to develop as the investigation moves along. For more on this, past episodes of the show, and other AP stories, visit apnews.com.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.